Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rob, your host, to hear from the As for Football team and another College Football Roundtable. We got a special show for you today. Although this is not a future Army opponent, they have been in the past and probably will be in the future just based off of the way that schedules work out and the things like that. But I think there's a lot of similarities in Army football's journey up until recently before they joined the American Athletic Conference and what UConn is kind of going through right now. And but first and foremost, we got some bills to pay, so we'll dive right into the commercial, and then we will introduce you to Bobby Wilson from the TNT College Football Podcast. What's up, everybody? My name is Rob. If you've listened to this show at all, you know that we have a Patreon, and our Patreon supports us to create content like this. We're doing it live for you now. Go to patreon.com, ask for football to learn more. There's links on our website. We have at the yearling level, you get weekly games and locks. That's us all pontificating about sports gambling. Whether you trust us or not, that's on you, but it's a great opportunity to kind of get our insights on what games we're going to be watching this weekend or that weekend and see what's going on. At the Cal level, you get that plus our scouting report. At the first level, you get exclusive access to our First League Club, which is our private Facebook group for our top level patrons. It's a base place to watch and talk about Army football in general or college football because we're all super fans. We try really, really hard to keep it positive, and it's a private group, so whatever happens there stays there. You're not going to get screen captured and put out into the social world. Firsties also get live access to show recordings just like this one, and we have regular scheduled times. Bottom line is we spend a lot of money improving the show. We use StreamYard, Podcastle AI for audio editing, and we have regular recording time so people can join us, like the four people that are here now. All that stuff takes time and money. That's why we need your support. Anyway, we're doing these shows. Our off-season shows are always going to be open on YouTube and Ask for Football Facebook and Twitter. And so the reason why we do that is just, hey, if you like what we're talking about, come back. If you like one of our guests that we have on one of our off-season show, check their shows out and come back. But we always enjoy this. But this is the reason why we're doing it. This is your preview for Ask for Football, and you get to choose whether or not you're going to follow us for the rest of the 2024 season. We have a new title sponsor coming up. We will talk about that. But without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to our guest, Bobby, from the TNT College Football Podcast. We usually have like typical questions that we ask people when they first come on the show. So the first question that I will ask is, you know, you're a writer and a recruiting analyst, but tell us about you. Where'd you go to school? What was your major? What made you follow the Huskies? And why start a college football podcast?
Well, first off, thank you, Rob, for having me. I really, really appreciate it. My story to starting a college football podcast is probably a lot different than everybody else. I played basketball into college. I went to Grand Valley State University. That was what I went to school for. I know that sounds bad, but basketball was my passion. That's what I did. I was going to school to play and then be a coach. And I was privileged enough to become a women's college head coach at the Division III level up until the COVID year 2020.
Wow.
When that hit, my son at the time, he was two, and I was like, man, I'm really focusing on raising other people's kids and not focusing on raising my own kid, on my own child. Yeah. So I decided to step away from coaching. And so I had a big opening now in my life when it comes to sports. My whole life had always been about basketball, football, playing, coaching, all that. Yeah. And so then it turned into, I always had kind of this dream, I guess you could say, or a bucket list. I wanted to attend a home game at every FBS stadium.
Oh, wow.
And it's an ongoing process. Of course, it's going to take time to do that. I have small kids, so I can't go to games every weekend, but it's a lot of fun and I love to do it. My podcast started with me chronicling that journey, and it's turned into, over the past 3 years, into me becoming a national media member, writer. I get to vote on many of the awards. It's been a blessing. God has blessed me tremendously doing this. I'm so thankful. Now I have a 6-year-old. My son is 6. I have a daughter who's 3, and then I have a 6-week-old. So that takes a lot of my time, obviously. And I'm still, there's nothing better than being a dad. But to answer your question about UConn, to be completely honest with you, when I started this podcast, I knew probably the minimal information about UConn football.
Yeah.
Coming from my basketball background, I knew a ton about basketball. I grew up in Flint, Michigan. So I'm a big Detroit Pistons fan, and Rip Hamilton was my idol growing up as a player, and I molded my game after him. And of course he went to Connecticut, was on the 99 national championship team. And so it was kind of, I always had this fandom towards them because of him. And then as I coached women's basketball, of course, UConn women's basketball is one of the best in the country. And getting to meet Gino and all the other coaches that I'm coaching, I was privileged enough to do that and just became a fan of what they've done. So fast forwarding into the football side, I'm putting out my breakdowns in my very first year, kind of like how you saw me. I do it every year. I'm going on year 3 now. And a lot of UConn fans liked some of the stuff I was putting out. It just kind of turned into, hey, can you write some stuff about UConn? Can you do some things here or there? And it's blossomed into this big thing where I do a weekly show with a former UConn player, Pete Callen. He's a former Husky defensive back.
Wow.
Him and I talk UConn Husky football every Sunday night. And it's just truly been a blessing to just get to know the coaching staff there and the players. And it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, that's super cool. And like, congratulations on your journey. Like, that's a roundabout way of getting there. But when you get there, it's always awesome to see your hard work pay off. And that's one of the other things that we always talk about, too. You know, like, it doesn't necessarily mean, like, as Army fans, you know, everybody's expectation is like, hey, you're going to go out and be a lieutenant in the Army and do the Army stuff, right? But there's so many other paths to success. And so it's always nice to hear success stories from other people that have, you know, done it a little bit differently. And I can tell you that, you know, understanding UConn, and I will tell you guys deep dove, because I listened to the show last week and it was like, man, like, these guys get way down into the granularity. So if you are a UConn Huskies fan of the football team, I highly encourage you to check out Bobby's podcast, because they dive very, very deep into, you know, the coaching staff and the players and the recruits and everything else like that. We don't really dip into the recruits that much. We talk about them, you know, occasionally, but it's not, you know, that's not our primary analysis. Our analysis is like on the field play is really where we kind of hang our hat. But like, Roundtable is where we talk a little bit more openly about the big things in college football that are of note. But, you know, so this is pretty interesting too, seeing that you're going into your third year covering UConn sports or UConn football, that like you're kind of side by side along with Coach Morrow. So you've kind of got to see him from the very beginning to where he is today. So what are your thoughts on him as a coach and the job that he's doing? Because it's like, it's always tough, and we'll get into it a little bit later, but as a, you know, as an independent, scheduling is probably the toughest part. But also, how do you compete? Because again, like, you know, UConn from basketball, but like, UConn has a football team, you know, and not to be, you know, not to be pejorative, but like, the reality of it is it's very, very difficult to build momentum, even with a coach like Coach Mora. But like, what are your thoughts on how things have been going so far to this point?
I'll be honest with you. When I started covering UConn football, I kind of had the same thoughts as well. It's like, well, UConn has a football team, but they've been really bad for a decade. So I'm walking into this like, okay, how am I going to cover a team that doesn't win very much? And I always want to be positive and spin it in a positive light. I want to be realistic as well, but just portray it in a positive light, because I feel like there's so many things on social media where it's just so negative.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that I wanted to do when it came to that. And I know now, especially, that there's not really anyone covering UConn football at a consistent level like Pete and I do. So it was a great opportunity to be able to do that. But to answer your question about Coach Mora, I always look at things from my coach's hat. Now, granted, I coach a different sport, but I still – understand how difficult the things that coaches deal with day in, day out. And to be quite frank, I mean, Coach Moore walked into arguably the toughest job in the country from what Coach Edsel had left the program.
That's fair.
Right. So he walks in, he not only has to establish a culture, he has to bring in tons of players to that can play at the FBS level, because quite frankly, we did not have FBS level players. We had a few. So it came down to building depth, and we're still doing that. I mean, that takes time. And I firmly believe Coach Mora is doing just an unbelievable job. Honestly, I understand from the national perspective, some people might look at it as some of the things that they hear him saying when it comes to NIL or whatnot, that they might look at him as complaining. But those that know the ins and outs of the program know that support has been lacking. Yeah. And when he came out this as the off season started this year, December, January, and all that, he really, really built. They've built something when it comes to the NIL and the collectives and whatnot, and they're really gaining the support that they need to build something, because he's done a great job with the culture aspect.
Yeah,
and so many of the. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, culture really, really does matter, because again, you know, we're starting to see that pivot. You know, the pivot with name, image, and likeness. You know, without getting too much on a soapbox. Things do need to change with NIL, just because it's too wide open, it's too unregulated. And now, you know, when I hear players talking about wanting to unionize or players wanting to become employees of the university, like that is a deep discussion. It goes right into my next point, though. You know, like, how is NIL affecting, you know, that? So you said they're building a collective, they're also building a culture, and those things are kind of simultaneous. But like, when we think UConn, we think men and women's basketball, again, going back to their long legacy of championships at the national level. But do you think that, you know, some of that shine is rubbing off on the football team now, or is it still, you know, record-based, coach-based, or is it a kind of a combination of the two? Because I see that like, the recognition is there. Like, we're running news stories in North Carolina about guys that transferred from ECU to UConn before the championship basketball game. So, you know, it's a marquee thing for that university.
Absolutely. I'll first say that I'm so glad that I'm not a coach anymore with the NIL landscape. That just seemed like such a headache. That's just me personally. But yeah, I'm big on if other programs are winning, it breeds winning within the athletic department. And I think that's been true with the Connecticut Huskies. Coach Moore's first year when they won six games was amazing. If we're being quite honest, I understand like the players and coaches, like they had the mindset and they knew that they were going to go out there and do this, but they had to prove it on the field. And they beat a ranked Liberty team that year. It was a monumental year for the program. Last year, of course, they go 3-9. They were better than 3-9. But the thing with UConn is still in the margins. It's hard for them to win. And what I mean by that is like the depth aspect. They're still trying to bridge that gap and everything. And in due time, they're going to do that. Like the recruiting class that we've put together already for 2025 is fantastic. And the guys that we have coming in this year, 2024, and especially the transfer portal class, have really done a great job with that. And then from the NIL standpoint, it just, of course, I like I kind of said, I think the winning breeds more winning. And yes, UConn football has to go prove it on the field. But I think that the staff and the players have shown, especially in the offseason here, that everything's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, the desire to win, you know, and that's the part of it. It goes back to what you said about culture, right? Culture is very, very important, because if every team that was undersized or didn't have, you know, the five-star recruit in the backfield and said, oh, we're going to lose this game every week, then why would we even play the games? You know, and I think, you know, the first year going 6-6, super, super impressive, you know, for the program. But the other piece of it is like, that's a great start for a head coach, because, you know, there's guys that have some offers in there, you know, or they don't win any conference games. You know, advantage sometimes, again, like we talked before we started, was, you know, there are some advantages to not being in a conference, because all your wins are essentially quality wins if you're, you know, if you're an independent. But, you know, the postseason benefits, particularly in the group of five, are pretty slim, you know, if you're not, you know, if you're not sitting, hanging out in the group of five conferences or as an independent. You know, like Army's played, you know, one SEC team in the postseason, and that was Mizzou a couple years ago, and that was when they were, you know, 9-something, right? And so it really requires a lot of effort to get those marquee matchups, or to get those television recruiting type matchups that are needed to get, you know, other players to come to your national brand. Because again, you know, like if I'm known for basketball, you know, maybe I'll come to the football team, or if I'm a two sport athlete, I might come to, you know, check out the basketball team and then, you know, have a chat with the coach or whatever and change my mind and play football. But the reality of it is it's a unique monster that you have to deal with. And so I think that's really interesting that the program is still continuing to grow regardless of, you know, what else is intrinsically going on at the university, but growth inside the locker room is really what's important. And then of course, you know, we've kind of tiptoed around it, but the reality of it is like, do you think is there a conference in your future? Is it like Conference USA? Is it coming to the American? Because I mean, again, horror stories from the Army fan base about being in a conference. Like, we hated it. Like, there are people still, like, we are 7 weeks or 8 weeks away from college football kicking off, and we still have people that are like clutching their pearls because Army is now in a conference, because the last time it didn't go so well. But I mean, is that in the future? Because I think, you know, going back to the NIL discussion, I think being in that conference gives you consistent TV time, consistent money, consistent, you know, opponents that you can scheme against, or that you can coach against, or that, you know, so it's not as difficult preparation for the team week in and week out when you kind of have some habitual, you know, targets on the calendar. But I like to see what your thoughts are.
I think it's very important for us to get into a conference just because of the landscape that college football has turned into, kind of like with what you're saying about the G5 aspect. I mean, with us being an independent, you know this as an Army fan, like, it's difficult for us to get into a bowl game. We almost, because we don't have a tie-in like you guys did. So we have to honestly hope that not enough teams qualify for bowl games just so we can get invited to a bowl. So that's a difficult bridge there when it comes to that. I know that the administration, Coach AD Dave Benedict, Coach Mora, and the like, I know that they want to be at the highest level that they can possibly be at. Obviously, that would mean potentially ACC, Big 12, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And I think that that's firmly what they have their eyes set on, is getting to that highest level that they can be at. UConn is a fantastic institution academically.
No,
they do that. They all the other sports are right in line with what you want. It's just football has to produce. Yeah. And as we all know, that's the moneymaker. That's where, as great as UConn basketball is, men's and women's,
yeah,
there's astronomically more money, yeah, on the football side of things.
Yeah, certainly not a revenue generating sport. And I hate to say it that way, but like, that's the reality of collegiate, mm-hmm, athletics is, you know, if you don't have a great football program, then, you know, financially there's boosters and you know, people on the outside looking in like, well, why are we paying for this stuff, you know? And it,
right,
it makes it difficult. Like, I would, like, I never even thought about the ACC, because I know the ACC is about to shake up again. I know that they're talking about some moves in the ACC, and the Big 12, I don't know if they're going to be set for the next couple of years or not, because I know they let Colorado back in, and it's going to be like, where would you guys land? Like, on your wish list, where would you personally like to see, you know, the Huskies wind up? And then, you know, what do you think, like, the front office at the university is thinking?
I mean, me personally, I live in Illinois. I would love to see them in the Big Ten, but I'm also realistic. I know that that's a pipe dream, if nothing else. The ACC, I think, makes sense just from the aspect of our academics fall in line with the ACC institutions. We have previous rivalries with a handful of institutions that are already in the ACC, with Boston College, Pittsburgh, Syracuse.
Yeah.
So we've played a good amount of these teams in the past. I think it would be a great fit if what we all hear when it comes to the ACC and whatever it may be with the teams in that conference that might pull away, go somewhere else, whatever it may be. I think the Big 12 was, I think we had, well, I was told that we were going to be going to the Big 12 until the Pac-12 fell apart. And I completely understand that aspect when the demise of that conference took place. Obviously, the Big 12 did what they had to do when it came to that.
Yeah.
And I don't fault them at all for that. I know the draw for the Big 12, especially for UConn fans, is the basketball aspect.
Yeah.
With how great that conference is basketball wise. But for me personally, I think the ACC is the best fit and scenario for it.
Yeah.
There's also the idea too that like UMass joining the MAC, if we wanted to do something like that from a football perspective and join the MAC or whatever, or the American for football.
Yeah.
It seems like there would be those options.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. You know, I was talking with somebody over the weekend about, you know, basically the Mountain West becoming the new Pac-12, for lack of a better term. Just reflag the whole thing and just dump all those teams in there. And the only advantage is their games will start an hour earlier, so you're watching kickoff at, you know, 8 o'clock rather than 9 or 10. You know, but the reality of it is like there's a lot of restructuring that has to go on based off of all the conference moves. I think, you know, when you look at I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel bad for Michigan because of the way that their new schedule shook out in the Big Ten. Like, they have nothing but pipe eaters the whole season, and then they've got to cap it off with like some really difficult teams. And oh, by the way, you know, you're not getting away from the Buckeyes. And so now they have a pretty, like, their schedule is probably one of the most rigorous schedules I've seen, particularly in the Big Ten, you know. And that's one of the, you know, if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, if you don't run the table, nobody cares about you, you know. And like, that is one of the things that I enjoy about watching Group of Five football, is it's like there's a lot of parity there. And so on any given Saturday, you know, East Carolina could beat Navy, or the other way around, you know. And so those competitive contests in the American, or even like UConn, you know, UConn and UMass, that would be great for MACtion. Yeah, I'd watch that on Wednesday night. You know, who wouldn't? You know, those would be great games. And I think it would also create opportunities for televised games, you know. And I think, like, you know, not to say that I would want to play, you know, half my schedule on a Wednesday as a college football player or a team, but that being said, if I know that it's coming and it's scheduled ahead of time, that's pretty awesome, because like that is a standalone showcase for that conference every Tuesday and Wednesday night on ESPN. And so I think, given the way that the landscape of college football is moving towards the, you know, towards the broadcast TV conglomerates rather than actual regional conferences, I think, you know, the ability to get more TV time is going to be the biggest aspect of everything that's going on. But I do have one last thing, and like I said, we at Ask for Football don't really dive too much into the recruiting stuff, but you deep dive recruiting on your show. If you have not, like you do a lot more analysis than we do, and I hats off to you for your coaching acumen, because again, if you're scouting the players that you coached as well as you scout the players that are coming into UConn, I think that's incredible. But what really started, you know, that desire to add that as an aspect to your show, just because you guys do a very, very good job. And I know that one of the things that you guys broke down was a controversy about one of your recent guys that was recruited, that like, oh, he's a four-star kid, but because he's choosing to come to UConn, they kind of undercut him in the assessment of who he was, and saying like, oh, well, because he's going to UConn, he's a three-star. Well, it doesn't change the level of performance on the field or his play on the field. If the guy's a four-star, give him the four-star. And oh, by the way, that's a feather in the cap for your coach to be able to pull in a recruit of that, you know, that magnitude. But like, what made you start diving into that as well? Because I that's, to me, was one of the most interesting parts of your show.
Well, thank you, Rob. Pete and I were both former coaches. So it's something that kind of comes natural for us when it comes to evaluating talent. I feel like we both have a pretty good eye at what we're looking at. And it's just kind of, it's easy for us to talk about being former coaches. But I think that's something that him and I have, that we feel is important when it comes to like telling our listeners about, hey, these guys that we're getting, this is what we're getting. This is the type of player that they are. This is what we see. And obviously they don't need to take what we're saying as gospel, but at the same time, like I feel like we do a good job. We're thorough and we break it down and we do a thorough job with it. Like I said, that's just my coaching background. My favorite part when I coached was first building relationships with the players that I had, but second, I loved recruiting because when I stopped playing, that was then a competition aspect for me. It was competing against other coaches for players.
Yeah.
So that was always something that I've been to.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. And one of the things that we always say on our show is like, hey, players, do not listen to us. Like we're
right.
You know, we're a bunch of old dudes that, you know, used to play similar sports way, way back in the day. But like the reality of it is like, it's just opinion, right? And so we don't want them to take it too critically because like, hey, if somebody's dogging you out, you know, on a podcast, it's bad enough when you hear it once, twice, or you get your butt chewed in the locker room. But then like, you know, the incessant dunking on people on social media and other aspects, it's just not good for the headspace of the kids that are out there. And the reality of it is like, hey man, you don't have time to dwell on, you know, a busted play 2 weeks ago because you got to work on the next opponent, you know. And I think that's one of the difficulties because, you know, it's one of the things that is the difference between like all the other sports that play 20 plus games in a year. You know, if you play 20 games in a season or 20 or more games in a season, you have some times to have a bad game and recover. In college football, you do not, you know. And that's one of the discussion points too, that you know, you guys brought up, and we always think about it too, is it's like, hey, you know, FCS teams always scary, you know, particularly as an independent, because you've got to, that's a must win game every season regardless, right? You have to win that game, because if you lose it, then it takes away from your fan base. It takes away from your coaching staff. It takes away from potential recruiting. But the other part of it is it's like, that's one of the games that you should win. And so if you're banking on that, you know, to go 7-5 for a bowl season and you end up 6-6, particularly for you guys, that could keep you on the outside looking in.
Absolutely. And I'll speak from kind of some personal experience for me. Back to my basketball playing day at Grand Valley State, we played Michigan State and we beat them. And that was a bye game for them. So it's the same aspect that you're talking about here, though. Like, you can't take any team for granted. In college football, you can, because you just don't have that grace period. Like, that the schedule is so small.
Yeah.
It's such a small sample size, like you were just saying. You have to go out every game and you got to be focused and ready to go. And if you fall short, even just one time, that could be the make or break that keeps you from going to a bowl game.
Yeah, for sure. And like, that's a real thing, is it's like, look, when it's all said and done, I think as a fan, we want to see the team be successful. We want to see them go into a bowl game. Like, God forbid, like, we want to see them make the playoff. You know, now that it's expanded, I think, you know, the ideal solution is, and I know that, you know, there's all kinds of rumors about, you know, hey, we're going to do a group of five playoff tournament because we know that they're never going to make it into, you know, the 12-team playoff. And I think that's, to me, that is a pretty sad commentary on the sports writers and everybody that are assessing the 12 teams that are going into the playoff. You know, I mean, like, if they're like, we don't think that a group of five team is going to make it in, that's terrible. And the reason why I say that is because it's like, these kids are practicing just like everybody else is all season long. And if they're the best team and you think that they're going to give the best competition, then put the team that's going to give the best competition in it. And that's the last point that I would make. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. What did you think about the bowl games last season? Because I personally thought the only ones that were worth a damn were the teams that were like pretty even. So like, if it was a 6-6 team, those guys played well. But if it was like, look at what happened with Florida State and Georgia. What an embarrassment for college football as a whole, because Florida State didn't even show up. And like, sorry, Florida State fans, when I'm calling you out, because the reality of it is they like they didn't even walk into the building. Like, that was the worst bowl game ever. And I think NIL had something to play with, you know, play into that. I think it had to do with frustration from not being selected. But like, you had two teams that were on the outside looking in that should have been playoff teams. Like, make no mistake, if you know, Michigan was smart, they would have went in and be like, hey, look, don't put us in the playoff, put in Florida State's, no sanctions next year. And look what happened to them. Like, yeah, they won the national championship, but they probably are not going to do that well. I'm fully expecting a you know, 10-3 season for the Wolverines this year, based off of their schedule alone, not to include all the other shenanigans that are going to happen behind the scenes. Because like, Harbaugh was like, yeah, we weren't cheating, but don't put any sanctions on me as a coach if I come back. Like, wait a minute, like, you know, what's going on with that? You know what I mean? And like left up to left open to interpretation, but like, legitimately, what were your thoughts of the bowl games last year? Because I know, with the exception of like the playoff games, I wasn't very excited to watch in the postseason this year.
They were rough. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. I mean, the opt-outs situation, I don't know what the solution is, but it needs to be fixed. Like I said, I don't know how they fixed it. I'm not going to act like I'm smart enough to figure that out. But it just makes it so rough for fans. And I understand the players' perspective. I do. There's a lot of their livelihood playing professional football. Like, I understand that aspect of it. But at the same time, guys for decades now have been doing that and putting it all out there, playing every game. I don't see why it should be as big of an I don't see why it should just suddenly be this issue now where like, oh, half our team is going to sit out because they don't want to get hurt or hurt their draft stock, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you find a way to pay players to play in the bowl game. Like, I don't know. And I don't condone that aspect of it.
Yeah. Trying to say,
I don't know if you make it. Yeah. I don't know if you make it as like part of their NIL. I don't.
Yeah. I think potentially that's probably the only way that it's going to work out, you know. And again, as much as I like the aspect of players getting more compensated for play, you know, and I say more compensated because a lot of those guys are scholarship athletes, but the opportunities for the guys that aren't scholarship athletes to get paid while they're playing in college, I'm okay with. You know, there's certain aspects of NIL that I'm cool with, but there's other aspects of it. It's like, hey, let's think about it. There's, you know, well over 500,000 collegiate athletes. If we're taxing them at 10K a piece, you know, somebody's making money off of them making money. And that's where it becomes tricky for me, because I think legitimately, like, when you look when the states that pushed hardest for NIL in the very beginning are two of the states with the biggest freaking, you know, bloated state budgets in the country. And so they're like, hey, let's make all our, let's make all of our collegiate athlete 100,000-aires, and then we can tax them accordingly, and we can bring some of that money into the budget. But that's a much, much deeper discussion. Speaking of money, we got another commercial here real quick. So if you listen to the show before, you know that we have Craig Oxane. He is the vice president of residential lending at New American Funding in Chicago. You know, he's class of 1994. He can lend in all 50 states. He's based out of Chicago. He's one of the biggest VA lenders in the country, provides super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. Friends, the whole mortgage process is super confusing with rates moving all over the place. Now, not the time to go after a person that's just trying to make a buck off of you, not a call center, not some big box bank or mindless website. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you get a better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. The other part of it is, if you are a veteran, Craig does not charge lender's fees. So that's a savings of about $1,300. Get that free money. Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending. Check him out. The link's on our website, or you can just Google him. You fill out the questionnaire, and you'll be talking to Craig in a couple minutes. So I want to give you the opportunity to kind of plug all your socials and everything else before we wrap the show up. But definitely appreciate you coming on today, Bobby. This was awesome. We will definitely be dipping a toe in on your show this season, because like, we're always looking for people that have a voice in college football that's not ours. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, as a fan base, we get pretty attached to our teams. And, you know, we do the roundtable as a hedge for, you know, whether or not Army has the best season or the worst season, or even if it's just a so-so season, so we can still get it all off of our chest without dunking on the players. And so that's really why we have this forum. But, you know, this year we're certainly looking to expand, you know, our colleagues in the podcast space. And it's great that you're, you know, professional writer and analyst and all the things that you do. But I'll pause there, give you the floor to kind of plug everything that you're doing and where we can find your stuff.
Well, again, Rob, thank you for having me. It's been a blast talking with you. And I know that every week I have a UConn football show. So I have a focus towards UConn football. I do national work as well. I do national podcasting. My writing is a national base. Right now in the off season, I break down all 134 FBS programs individually. I do a program by program breakdown. You can see those through the TNT College Football blog, the website that I have there. Then, of course, on Twitter X at TNT College Foot One, that's where you can find me mostly. I have a Facebook page as well. Just the podcast is on Spotify. And I again, I'm just thankful to be given this opportunity to come on here and talk UConn Husky football, something I'm really passionate about. I've grown to be very passionate about it. And again, just thank you.
No, this is awesome. I really appreciate you coming on. Like, I enjoy these conversations because, like, it's always nice to talk to other people that understand and care about the sport as much as we do. Because sometimes, you know, you'll get people like, yeah, I want to be a guest on your podcast. Like, do you watch football? You know, and
right.
Because, and it's like, it's almost too easy to launch a platform, you know, a podcast, but you have to have a voice and you have to have a particular area that you want to be in. So you focus on UConn. And looking forward to reading your assessment of Army, because I think, you know, I think that's kind of how we linked up, because somebody had posted something on social media about how, you know, not so great the writing was on the season preview. And the reality of it is, it's like, we're going in unknown territory for Army. You know, we don't think that they're going to be the bottom. I don't think that they're going to win the conference championship. I could be wrong. You know, stranger things have happened, because when you look at the landscape of the American Conference, there's a lot of parity there as well. Cause like, there's nobody that's really standing out with the exception of SMU, and now they're gone. And so looking towards Army opponents in the schedule, of course, like, I don't want to get punched in the face at Lehigh in the opening week, you know, but, you know, an undefeated Army team, that's maybe a little bit of a stretch, because we do have Notre Dame on the schedule, you know. So it's like living in reality, but also given a fair assessment of the team's performance throughout the course of the year. I know that you guys have some interesting matchups as well, but you're opening your season with a Big Ten opponent. Who saw that coming, you know? And thank goodness Tua's younger brother is now gone, because that guy's a super dangerous football player, you know? And so I think this is really nice to have other people on the show that really care about college football as much as we do. One last thing, and that's our mailing list. If you like Army football, but you hate social media, who doesn't? Social media is terrible. Again, it's a wretched hive of scum and villainy. And the reality of it is like, most people don't get on social media to have positive conversations. They usually just troll each other. Instead, you can go to askforfootball.com/subscribe, get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week with that week's content. It's too easy. Keep up with Army football and Ask for the Army sports and Ask for football. Anyway, again, for the team here at the Ask for Football crew, I am Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Bobby from the TNT College Football Podcast. Do us all a favor, check him out. He's active on all the socials. Read his article. I mean, and if there's a team that you follow outside of Army, read his previews about them, because, like, I would assure you that he has probably done a lot more of the grunt work than many of the other writers out there. And we really appreciate you coming on the show. But as always, beat Navy.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Join the AFF team next week for more hot takes and college football analysis. If you like the show and you want to support us, consider signing up for our Patreon at Ask for Football, or opting into our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe. We'll catch you guys next week. And as always, beat Navy.